Thank you, Nate, for those wonderful songs. We place you in the highest place. Well, I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. And I will say this places me out of my comfort zone slightly, but I was glad for your prayers this week and the texts that were sent my way. And yeah, I'm just thankful for message that God has given to me to preach this morning. As I mentioned here a few weeks ago, I wanted to share a little bit of what God has been doing in my life in the past half a year or a few months anyway, in preparing me for this and just giving me a heads up that He has a plan for me to be in the ministry. And I just praise God for His way of speaking to me in that. So I have a lot to share this morning, and my goal is to be done by 11. So not going to go over, hopefully. So see some waving some hands or something if I do. But so I want to start out by saying that I want God to receive the glory for things that He showed me in life and things that happened to me that I want to share here. I just want Him to receive the glory and all the honor and the glory. So yeah, God has been working in my life, and have I dreamed all my life of being in the ministry someday? Probably not. But am I excited and glad to serve the Lord wherever He has called me to? Absolutely. And I've entitled the message, God is Still Speaking. And I'll explain a little bit later why I came up with that title. I want to add that I'm referring to God speaking to us. And it can also be the Holy Spirit speaking. We know God and the Holy Spirit are one. So hopefully we can allow God to speak to us through this message this morning. He showed me this message. It's been a little while in the making, and I realized this morning is Palm Sunday, and as dates got switched around a little bit, it landed up on Palm Sunday, so I don't have a Palm Sunday message planned necessarily, but that's okay. Hopefully, apologize if you're coming here hoping to hear a Palm Sunday message. But I just want to dial back a few months. It was last summer, early fall sometime, when it was announced that there was going to be an ordination here at Marstown. And I felt God pressing it on me over that time. And you know, that he wants me to serve in that position. And it was even before that I felt God calling to the ministry in some way or another. At that time, I wasn't sure where or what. But so last summer, early fall, I will admit I struggled with that for a little while. I felt, I felt so small and felt like I couldn't do that. Felt there's so many others that could do better than me. And, you know, but I wanted God to use me and use me wherever, you know, He wanted me to go. And I guess it was my thoughts, my human nature. But God worked through me and in that. And I believe the surrender part of that was back in October. And, I was saying this is a major step for me. I just, be a major event in my life to do that. But God has worked through me in that and in the surrender part of that. And back in October there or whatever, I was praying that God would just show me a sign or something. I want to do this, but just show me a sign or show me something that I can look back to and say, yes, that God spoke to me and He was, you know, as He was preparing me for this. And sometimes instead of stepping out in faith, sometimes we feel like we need a sign. It's not always what God chose or what God, what we should ask for, but I just felt like it's a major thing. I just wanted God, was looking for something, I guess. Have you ever wondered, where is God? Have you ever wondered, does God really hear me? Does God care about me? And I just remember kind of feeling that way back then, and sometimes maybe we expect to have an answer, or if we're praying about something, we expect to have an answer right away. And in this fast-paced world in which we live, we can run out of patience maybe, and but God doesn't always answer right now. And I can just remember a time when God spoke to me that way, made it clear to me. I was at work. I was driving from one job to the next. I can remember the exact place. It was up in a town north of here, one of the small towns up there. And I was stopped in traffic, just waiting there, maybe getting a little impatient. Let's go. I got to keep going here. It had been weighing on me. I felt like God was pressing it on me that that He wanted me to be in, you know, be the one that's called. And I was asking God just to speak to me, show me something. You know, that is this what you're asking, or is this just a feeling that I'm having? And So as I was praying, I just happened to glance over, and there was a church sign right there. It said, it was a sign that was changing. It was changing different phrases or whatever. And just happened to look over. As soon as I done praying, looked over, and across the sign it said, "God is still speaking." And even though we may wonder at times, where is God? You know, has He left me? Is He where's He at? But no, God is right here. And when I seen that, it came to me right away that should be the title of my first message. And that was back in October. So right there, I truly felt that God was speaking to me and saying that, yes, He is. He's here. He's calling me. And I can do this. God's going to help me through this. And you know, He doesn't always have an answer right away. Sometimes we need to wait on Him for an answer. Sometimes we need to wait on His timing. And it definitely made it easier for me to answer the call, knowing that He was calling me ahead of time, and that I needed to hear that. And it may not be fire falling down from heaven to get our attention. God may not do that. He may not give us a fleece experience as Gideon had in the Old Testament, where he set a fleece out and he asked God to have, you know, to show him a sign. If the fleece is dry in the morning on the wet dew and the grass is dewy, if the fleece is dry, then he knows it's a sign. God doesn't always show us that. But, you know, it may just be a piece, that we have a piece about a certain thing that we've been praying about. It may just be, you know, it's a personal experience where you felt God was there, God was present. And, I'm not talking about our conversion experience. That should be a marked time, I believe, in our life where you felt the weight of sin and you answered the call. But you know, each one of us experiences will be different. Each one of us has a different experience, but I hope each one of us can think back to a time in our lives when we felt God was near, felt God's presence was near to us, and we felt that God was with us. So I'd just like to say that when my name was called here on January 14th, it didn't hit me like a ton of bricks. All I could do was nod my head and say, "Yes, Lord." It was an affirmation that, yes, You were calling me, and just giving me a heads up here, I guess. So that's been my experience. I just felt I should share that here this morning. For a message this morning, I have 7 ways that God speaks to us. And in the message this morning, my goal for this is for us to be sensitive to God's voice. And, you know, just to listen for God's voice in the midst of this fast-paced, self-centered world in which we live. I fear sometimes we can miss what God is trying to show us. We can miss that. And like I said before, God's not always going to speak in a bold way. Oftentimes he comes to us in just a still, small voice. And I won't get over all the ways that God speaks to us, but just some of the ways here that I come up with for this message this morning. I invite your attention to John chapter 10 for a theme verse this morning. John chapter 10. This is the teachings of Jesus here. John chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 3. Read verse 3 to 5. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And I want to read verse 27 here as well. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here on these verses here, but Jesus is saying here that his sheep know his voice, and they follow him. Do we know God's voice this morning? Do we hear him? Are we letting God lead us this morning? And maybe there's someone here who God is speaking to you, calling you to become a Christian. And if he is, I would add that please talk to somebody after the service. So let's continue to allow God to speak to us, and let's be obedient and answer when God calls. And at the end of the conclusion, I want to look at what is our response. What is our response when God speaks? So the first one I have here is God speaks through his word and prayer. I read a phrase that said, you cannot understand the word of God unless the Spirit of God teaches you. And right away, when I read that, I had to think of Philip and the eunuch. When the eunuch there, he needed someone to guide him to understand the scriptures. And Philip guided him along. He helped him to understand, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, he understood the scriptures. And God speaks to us through his word. It's at times when something may jump out at you as you're reading the word, or you hear a verse that is preached, and, I didn't really think of it like that. You thought, you know, God showed it to you in a new and a different way. And I want a quick look at a verse. If you want to, you can turn to it. If not, that's fine. Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I was just focused on that last part of the verse, of that verse there, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is not just a collection of words and phrases. The Bible, it is alive. The Bible is life-changing. It is dynamic. At least it should be. And maybe it doesn't always feel that way at 5 o'clock in the morning when you're reading God's word. But it should do something to us. The Bible should revive us. It should get us going, get us going throughout the day. And I read in a commentary a phrase that said, the Bible penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual life, discerns what is within us, both good and evil. So when we read God's word, it brings comfort to us. When we need comfort, it also brings conviction when we need conviction. So it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word goes right to the heart. And I was thinking of an illustration there when the woman was taken up in adultery, and there was the guys were standing around there ready to stone her. And Jesus said to her accusers, "He that is without sin may cast the first stone." When he said that, it went right to their heart, and it brought conviction in their life. And one by one, they all left, and it was just Jesus and her standing there. And Jesus said to her, "Go and sin no more." So it goes right to the heart. And God's word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Secondly, God speaks to us through circumstances. I believe sometimes God speaks through circumstances, through events, through happenings in our lives. Maybe it's a near-death experience that somebody had, and maybe somebody here has an example of that, or they could have a story of that happened to them. But to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, sometimes, you know, there's stories of people who were inches from death, and he saved them. And, you know, I just want to make it clear here that not every time something bad happens to us, it's God's judgment on us. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I believe, you know, we can listen more closely to what God is trying to teach us. I was just looking a little bit at Jonah. I'm not going to turn there, but the whole story of Jonah, event after event, Jonah, God was trying to get his attention. And we see where he was running from God, and he was in the boat with all the sailors, and the sea was getting boisterous, and they were thinking they were going to drown. And we know what happened. They cast lots through their superstitions, but I believe God made it happen. God allowed it to happen. The lot fell on Jonah, and we know the story. The fish swallowed him, and if that wasn't enough, Jonah was obedient. He went to Nineveh to warn the city, but it says he became angry. The Bible says he became angry after the city was spared, and he thought he had a reason to be angry. These Ninevites were extremely wicked people, treating the prisoners in very inhumane ways. But there he was, angry, and so he was sitting up there on the hill watching to see what's going to happen to the city. And God sent a gourd, and God sent this gourd to cover him, and then he sent the worm, and that withered the gourd. And it was just time after time, God was trying to get his attention. And we know that God will always work according to his will, whether it's the good coming out of the bad, or like Jonah, maybe to learn the hard way. I'm going to look a little bit at opposition. Don't let opposition think you're in the wrong place. 1 Corinthians, turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8. Read verse 8 and 9. "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Paul says here that the door of opportunity for him is open and effectual. So he says, go ahead, carry on the work of God. But he said, and there are many adversaries. So there will be opposition in our work for the Lord. There will be opposition. But we are not to allow opposition to slow us in our work for God. Never allow circumstances to speak louder than truth. And I think sometimes God brings trials and circumstances beyond our control to test us and to see how committed we are to him. And we see that as sometimes as God's way of drawing us closer to him. Thirdly, God speaks through wise counsel and godly people. So wise counsel will always complement scripture. You know, it can be a confirmation that what we're hearing from God, that was correct. So if we're looking for wise counsel, we will go to those who are experienced, right? Those who are experienced in whatever they do. If we're looking for counsel on, say, music lessons, we'll probably go to Brother Lee. He's got experience in that. There's many trades here that people do many different trades. If you want to look in for experience on flooring, the weavers, they could probably give you some tips on that. And if there's a bunch of farmers here, if you're looking to get experience on how to grow some crops, just talk to the farmers, their experience. If you're looking to wire a house, I could probably give you a few tips as well. I'm not going to guarantee the house isn't going to burn down if you do it yourself, but I could at least guide you that way. And it is the same way if we want to hear from God through wise counsel, we will go to someone who is experienced, somebody who has been through the mill, so to speak, and allow God to speak through them. Also, I think sometimes God can speak through our children. Sometimes just the innocence of a child, God can speak to us. The Bible says to become as little children, and if we offend one of them, it is better that a millstone were hanged about our neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. Recently, our family was just sitting there on the sofa, and we were talking a little bit. This was before Emerson was born, and we were talking a little bit about the pains of pregnancy and all that a mother has to go through for a baby. And we were just sitting there, and then a three-year-old Adeline, spoke up and said, "Sacrifice, sacrifice. You got that right. Where did you get that from? Where did you hear that?" Yeah, we weren't talking about that before. I hadn't even mentioned a word at all. But I think we should be aware, you know, of the times where God can be speaking through our children. Fourthly, God speaks to us through peace in our hearts. He confirms it with peace. If we don't have peace about it, then it's probably not from God. It's probably not God's blessing on the situation. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So are we at peace with God? We have communion coming up here soon, and that is one of the questions. Do you have peace with God? Is God speaking to you with peace in your heart? Fifthly, God speaks through our conscience. We all know God's voice in our conscience, do we not? We all know what it's like to be convicted, to be pricked in our hearts. But on the other hand, our conscience, I believe, motivates us to speak up at times. When God says to say something at a time when we need to say something. And I just want to share a story that happened to me earlier this year. It was the beginning of January. I believe it was God's divine appointment. It was actually in Florida. We were down in Florida for a few weeks here earlier this year. And it was one Saturday night. We were traveling back home there, or back to our house down there. And it was getting kind of late, and I thought, well, I'm gonna quick pull in here to this car wash here to wash a van. Saturday night, should probably wash a van here. So I kind of pulled in there, and there was nobody else there except for there was one man standing there at this car wash. It appeared to be appeared to be homeless. And, you know, in Florida, you do see more of that because it's obviously warmer down there, and you see more of those people standing in the medians or wherever holding signs up. And when I see them, my heart goes out to them, but yet, you know, you got to be kind of discerning of the situation. So as I was paying for my the van wash there, and he came over and he asked me if he could wash my van for me. So my first thought was, I'm in a hurry here, kind of. I can wash my van myself. Why should I pay somebody else to wash my van? So I kind of told him, I got it here. I can get this. And I knew he felt rejected right away. He was he got angry, kind of got angry, and I could tell he was really rejected, and just kind of walked off and kind of walked out of sight there. And as I was washing my van, I something told me that I got to speak up. I got to keep talking to him. And so by the time he had walked over, kind of out of sight, and so I kind of hollered over to him. I said something about I can help you. I believe I can help you. And he came right over, obviously, and I had a little talk there with him, and he told me that he said nobody helps me. He said he told me his whole sob story, how life has treated him, and so I told him I know somebody that can help you. And then I shared with him Jesus, and just had a good little talk with him there. And he told me he has to sleep out tonight. He has no place to sleep. And I could tell he was very, very depressed individual. He was very, very sad. He told me he's been there for 5 hours and only made $2. And he said he needs $12 to get into a shelter tonight. He needs $12. So he can get into the shelter. Now, I didn't know his situation. I didn't know if he was telling me the truth or whatever, how desperate he really was. But I didn't know what to do, really. So I told him, well, I don't want you sleeping out tonight, so I'll give you that, give you the $12. And he helped me wash my van then, too. I was kind of glad for that. I could talk with him. But anyway, after talking with him for a little while, he told me that I was like an angel to him. He said, he was ready to give up, and this was his words to me. He said he was about ready to do something he shouldn't have done. Now, whatever all that meant, I don't know, but I could tell he was a very depressed individual. And so I don't know if he accepted the Lord or not, or what the situation was, but I shared with him the Lord, and hopefully it made an impact on him. But I say all this to say that I believe we need to be sensitive to the Spirit's promptings. And, I had to think of that. How often do we pass by people that have needs and we move on. We're in a hurry. Like, sometimes I get in a hurry, I admit, but sometimes we gotta be sensitive to that. And I understand that handing out money like that isn't always the best thing to do, but we need to be sensitive to God's Spirit in areas of our lives. Sixthly, God speaks through dreams and visions, and you could add to that supernatural manifestations, angels, etc. There's so many times throughout the Bible where God spoke to people through supernatural ways. Exodus 3, we can turn to that, Exodus 3. Exodus 3, verse 1 through 4. I'm gonna read that here. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. So God called to him, to Moses, through a burning bush. And he got his attention. He really did. He caught him off guard, probably. That was an unexpected way of getting his attention. He sure got his attention. Sometimes God has unusual ways of getting our attention. Sometimes maybe he sends a storm our way. And maybe it's an unpleasant storm, but he sends it our way. But it's through the storm that we listen, right? We are ready and willing to listen when it's through the storm. He has our attention. And I had to think of the story when the disciples were in the boat and the boat was rocking. The storm came up and Jesus was sleeping. and they woke him up. They were crying out to him. They were going to perish, and they cried out, "Please help us." And Jesus had their attention, did he not? In the storm, it's in the storm that we listen. We need to listen for his voice. He speaks through the storm. And in Acts 9, it talks about Saul, his conversion experience, when God called him through a light, a bright shining light. And Saul didn't just see a vision, he seen Jesus. It says in Acts chapter 9 that this is I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And I love to hear stories of people that seen visions or seen angels. And there is some. Just recently, my aunt would tell the story. A few weeks ago, she was in a surgery, and there were some complications in this surgery, and she claims that she was very weak through the surgery. She thought she's going to die, and she remembers laying there on the operating room table and seeing her mom, which is my grandma. She has passed, and she remembers reaching out to her, and grandma would have smiled back at her. And you know, I'm not sure of all the details there, but I believe God allowed her to see that vision at a time when she needed God's grace. She needed God to show her, to help her. And also, I believe along with seeing visions, I believe the Muslim world is seeing visions of Jesus. You hear stories of Muslims coming to Christ, claiming that they've seen a vision. And I have a book here that I've been reading. It's Once an Arafat Man. Has anybody ever read this book? A few people, maybe. Once an Arafat Man. It's a guy that he was, at 17 years old, he was a sniper for Yasser Arafat. He was actually a chauffeur. He was a chauffeur for Yasser Arafat in Palestine. And this was over the time in 1967 when the Jews were fighting against the Arabs. And the Jews were trying to gain more ground in the West Bank. And the Arabs were fighting back. And he was one of them. And he tells many stories where he was setting up an ambush. When they would come riding into town, he would be sitting up on the rocks with his high-powered rifle, and he watched many men die looking through his high-powered scope. And it's really sad what he went through as a young man. And he had an extreme hatred for Jews. He hated Jews, and he says that would never be erased from his mind. He remembers that, and it comes up to him every now and then, those scenes. But anyway, he had a miraculous conversion, and he claims that he seen a vision, and a voice said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And God got a hold of him, and it was through somebody else working in his life and the Holy Spirit working that he became a Christian, and he accepted the Lord. But he went back to his family then, or he went back to the Middle East area and started a ministry to try to bring peace between the Jews and the Arabs. And he tells a story how he went back to his family then, and that is very unacceptable for the Muslim world, for a person to become a Christian and then come back to their family. That is very unaccepted in their time or their religion. And he tells a story where he came back to his family. He wanted to go back to meet them just to talk about his faith. And he remembers meeting him at the airport, and he said that they could have killed him right there. His family could have killed him, and it would have been accepted. It would have been even encouraged by the authorities. And he remembers his older brother, his family standing there, and his older brother having a gun with him. And he didn't know if he's going to take his life or not. But God protected him and spared him of that. And I don't know if it says that his family ever came to Christ. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But he said a high percentage of Muslims who come to faith see a vision. God gives them a vision. Last but not least, God speaks through a still, small voice. And this is the way I believe God speaks mostly, through a still, small voice. I'm not going to turn to the event in Elijah in 1 Kings in chapter 19 where God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire either. But he was in a still, small voice. And that can be a reminder for us today that God is not found in the noise and in the loud, the bustle, the loud music, whatever, or can I even venture to say highly visible church leader or leaders and churches with their, quote, rock and Christian music. But God can be found whispering to the humble in heart. And you won't hear him this way unless you're quietly, unless you're listening for his voice. And we heard a message recently by Brother Jim. Be still and know that I am God. So I believe we need to be discerning. There's many voices out there. We need to be discerning. Are we listening to God's voice? Does it complement Scripture? We need to learn to know God's voice. And most times, God, the voice of God comes in a gentle, loving way to those seeking with an humble heart. So lastly here in conclusion, what is our response? What is our response? Are we motivated to obey God when he speaks? When the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you, he is not leading you to an encounter. It is an encounter with God. And looking a little bit at Moses, his response was, I can't speak well. Who am I that I should go into Pharaoh? He knew what Pharaoh was like. He was with Pharaoh in his younger years and how stubborn he could be. But did he obey? Yes, he did. He obeyed. After some persuasion, he obeyed, and God used him in a mighty way. Just looking at Samuel a little bit, Samuel, his response was, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And 1 Samuel 3, verse 19, we're not going to turn to it, but it really jumped out at me. It says, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. The Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. So that stuck out to me there. Samuel was listening. He was hiding God's word in his heart. And, you know, are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of God? In the Bible, God spoke not often just for conversation's sake. God, when he spoke, he had a purpose in mind. And God always speaks at the right time. When we need motivation or when we need to hear, God always speaks at the right time. And the question is our timing God's timing? Are we listening? Are we sensitive? Do we hear? And when we do hear God's voice, are we obeying and seeking him with our whole heart, our soul, and our mind? So let's continue throughout the week. Let's continue to be sensitive to God's voice, listen to his voice, what he would, and to listen to what he has for us, and as he explains, as he tells us what his will is for our lives. I think I will conclude there, and why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, and we just thank you for the God that you are. We thank you that you do care about us, and that you love us, and that you do speak to us. We thank you for that, for your voice that we can hear, and we can listen, and we can obey. God, help us to obey when you speak. Help us to watch for the needs around us, and when you speak to us, to help in ways that we can. Lord, help us to be obedient in that. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises in your word. And just pray that, God, that you would just be with us as we go from here. Lead, God, and direct us. And I just pray that you would help us to be faithful and to serve you in every way we can this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have a song.